Welcome to Raptor Football Weekly. This is our second episode for season three. And if you missed the last week's episode with Bill Walker, Scott Holdeman, and Coach Fritzy, I'd encourage you to go back and listen as we recapped the great playoff run in 23, as well as set up the table for the season ahead. We want to thank our sponsor, Custom One, for their generous support of the Raptor football program and the use of this equipment. And with that, I'll kick it over to Scott and Coach Fritzy.
Hey, let's give it up for John there, his first intro.
Yeah, that was nice. That was really smooth.
I mean, great podcasting voice. All right. Great podcasting voice. I like it. Hi, folks, yeah. And welcome again to week two of Raptor Football Weekly with Coach Dan Fritzy. I'm your host, Scott Haldeman. Last week, the Raptors came away with a 28-14 victory against Park High School. You know, really weather-affected game. The Raptors ran for 227 yards off 57 attempts. Leading the way was quarterback Cedric Tomes with 78 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. Vincent Hurley also had 69 yards rushing. On defense, Anthony Martin led with six total tackles, while Matthew Brennan had two tackles for a loss. Let's bring in Coach Dan. Coach Fritzy, nice win. So an interesting start to the game with all the delays. Yeah. How do you adjust to those things in the beginning? You've had a couple of these situations before.
We have. And, you know, we told our kids ahead of time that we expected something like this to happen. And we intentionally got there a hair later than normal. And we held our kids inside. They went out and warmed up. And we held our kids inside. And I just kind of looked at the weather in the distance. And it looked nasty. And so we just waited for the ADs to come down the field. And sure enough, we saw lightning. Like, all right, we're going to the activity center, which was the plan, which we had told our kids way ahead of time. And we hung out in there for quite a long time, over an hour. Yeah. And our kids just relaxed, and they had fun, and they enjoyed each other's company. It was kind of nice, and we watched the hurricane outside. And,
yeah, no kidding. No.
And we just said, whenever we go, all we need is 10 minutes to stretch, and we're going to play. That's what we told the ADs, and that's what ended up happening. And our kids just embraced it, and it was fun.
So, you know, we've talked over the last few years in this podcast about, you know, being balanced, but also being able to adapt to the situation. And, you know, in this rain-affected game, you were really able to control the ground game.
Yeah, we went into the game thinking that this storm was going to hit us during the game. And so we based our game plan off of it, and we wanted to be under center. We wanted to be in heavier personnels. We wanted to be in tight formation. We wanted to use a fullback probably more than we normally do. And so some of those defensive guys had to play a little both ways based on that. And we were ready for it. And even when the storm passed, it was raining pretty hard the rest of the time. And so it was tough to throw the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, most of the carries went to two players, but you spread it around quite well.
Yeah, we have approached this season that we are going to run the ball by committee. Even though those two players got the majority there, I'm thinking going forward that it's really going to get spread around. We don't have that one guy like we may have had at times in previous years, but we do have a bunch of guys who are very capable, and as the season goes on, they're going to get more comfortable and get more carries.
Yeah, and, you know, with the delays and everything, I mean, to really, you know, get the ball and on that first drive just establish going all the way down for a touchdown.
Yeah, well, and the rain had subsided a bit early, and our forecast had said it's going to come back. And so we wanted to receive, and we wanted to throw some kind of deep play action on the first. So we had that plan, and sure enough, it hit, and we scored. And then after that, the rain came. So we felt like we got one in before that hit.
Yeah. And then, you know, with you got a big stop on their first drive. Henry Bird slashing in for a hold, you know, slashing in the hole for a big tackle for a loss. And that really stops any, I mean, they didn't have that much momentum going into it. Yeah. But it's really nice to get that stop.
It is. And, you know, part of our defense is predicated on TFLs. We want to get those tackle for losses to get teams in difficult situations in terms of the sticks. And Coach Capo called a nice stunt there and got our outside backer free.
Yeah, it was the right call at the right time. He made a hole, just opened up, and he was right there to stop the play. So so now you get the ball back. You throw the ball five times in this game, and this drive ends with an interception return for a touchdown. You know, a tough play, some pressure on Cedric, and it, you know, really prevents him from getting a strong throw off.
It did. And really, when you look at that play, it's a boot fake, and Cedric hurried his fake. And the hurrying of the fake caused the defensive end not to bite. And sure. he got right in his face, and Cedric made a play of a kid who was in his first game at quarterback in varsity. Right. And he just tried to make kind of that hero play. And that's kind of his mentality as an athlete at times, and that's great a lot of times. Other times it might get him in trouble. And he just came off the sideline and said, let's just learn from this right here.
Right.
Let's just learn, number one, you have a better fake. Number two, it's okay to take a sack. And let's just see how if we can respond and go down and score. And we did.
Yeah, I mean, almost good to have a play like that happen early in the game, right?
Yeah, as long as you end up winning in the end. Yeah, it did. And responding with the touchdown drive at the end of the half really erased that. For us, we wanted the two-score cushion, and then we were just going to sit on it. We were just going to grind clock, sit on it, and just get out of there with the weather. That was the plan.
You know, last week we talked a little bit about Park's defense, and you know, they can really give you some interesting looks.
Yeah.
Got a lot of athletes on that team.
They do.
But it seemed like your O-line was really able to generate good push. I mean, what was the key to that success?
I think Park's defense is predicated on speed, and we knew that, and they're very good at slanting and blitzing, and they had some tough kids, and they actually had a couple big kids that they rotated in. So our thought was, if they're going to be moving around, we want to go straight at them.
Yeah.
And our O-lineman loves that. They're always asking me to run dive because they just get to fire off the ball and be aggressive, and that's just kind of their mentality and attitude, and so they really excel at that.
So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, and this is from maybe podcasts or recent years, but you run kind of a zone blocking scheme. Is that correct?
We run both gap and zone,
okay.
And then we have a wedge play.
Yeah.
And the dive for us is a wedge. It's like, it'd be like a QB sneak, but we give it to the fullback, and they kind of form this V with the center leading out, and they just push together and try not to fall on the ground, stay on their feet. And so that actually is our wedge play. We have another one that might look similar that is a zone, but those are all wedges.
Yeah, and really just establishing on that side of the line. I mean, when you've got a tight formation, and you got everybody in the box, and you're still getting 5 or 6 yards.
Yeah,
it's pretty tough.
And that was our whole thing, is just to stay ahead of the sticks with the weather. When we told our kids, if it's 4th and 2, we're going for it. We'll run dive or whatever we have to. And we kept hitting inside, and then we ran a little counter outside, and then we ran an outside zone outside, and we just tried to keep the ball, keep possession, and keep first downs. And that was it. If we score, great.
Now, is that wedge something you've used in years past a lot, or is that something you're using more this year?
We have used it a lot. Last year, we got really good at it by the playoffs, and we probably, I think our success rate was close to 100%, except one goal line against Lakeville South. We ended up scoring, but we have used it quite a bit, all the way since the days of Connor Mose in 2015. We run it a little bit differently now, and I just think we've perfected it and how we do it. It's more complicated than you think. It's not just step inside and push.
Right.
You can, the toughest part of that is that backside A-gap, and if someone sneaks through, it's 4th and 1, and now all of a sudden you get attacked for a loss, and you're devastated.
So, I mean, is it similar in concept to like the Eagles tush-push kind of play?
Yep, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is, and then we're in high school, Minnesota, you're not allowed to push.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Can you push the running back, but you can't push the quarterback?
No, you cannot push a ball carrier. Now, they changed that rule recently, and they used to allow you to kind of push, but if it's in a pile and it's not clear, they just don't call it.
Right.
But if it's a QB sneak and you get right behind the QB and do the tush push, they will call that. And I will tell the rep before the game if teams do that to make sure they call that.
So what was the message at halftime? I mean, you're up 21-7 at half, but you are giving the ball back. I mean, Park's getting the kickoff.
So. I mean, 21-7, all they need to do is score once, and and all of a sudden it's nervous time, and they could kick an onside kick, and that's why you want that two-score lead, right? And so for us, it was very simple, a stop and a score. That's it, a stop and a score.
And a defense who had really barely played in the game so far.
I think they maybe 5, 6, 7 plays in the first half, something incredible.
I mean, they get both, a stop and a score.
And they got a stop, they got a pick right away, and we scored. And after that, it was tough. But our defense, we were really fired up at halftime. Our kids were loving it. They were loving the rain. They embraced it. They're weird like that. Their energy is weird. They were so pumped. And I just told them, hey, you're in a fight right now. It's a two-score game. Anything can happen. You better come out with the same energy we came out in the first half, and they did.
Yeah, it sounds like energy won't be a problem for this team, huh?
No, energy is their thing. No matter what they're doing, if they're playing football, if they're at team dinner, if they're at practice, they are high energy all the time, and they're a fun team to be around.
So I was, looking at statistics, I was wondering, Cedric had 5 passing attempts in this game.
Yeah.
When's the last time a Dan Fritzy head coach team had a quarterback with 5 passing attempts?
Probably 2015. Probably all the way back then when we were more of a Wildcat offense. Yeah, and we won't see that this week. You're going to see certainly over 20 passes this week. It'll be nice weather, and we have to throw the ball. Forest Lake is a stout up front.
Oh, yeah.
They got the big D lineman. We can't just run right at them. We have to be balanced, and our kids know that, and we've been preparing that way.
So, I mean, from your defense perspective, I mean, you held Park to only 46 yards rushing in that game.
Yeah, and they're a tough offense. And now the weather helped us some, but our defense, we want them to be a ball hawk defense and get turnovers and get TFLs. A little bit different than last year. We want to take a little more chances. And we also made a decision. I mean, you have to think of personnel, too, of – are you going to play guys on offense or defense? Because a lot of guys can play both, and we are leaning more towards defense than offense this year, and it showed. Now, that's one game. We'll see. And every opponent is a different animal for defenses. One team, it's a spread. The next team, you know, it is a ground and pound. And this week, it's a pistol option, really tough offense to face this week.
Yeah, and, you know, and last year you had a little bit of, you know, there's a little more fluctuation in the defense as far as, you know, you had the defensive coordinator that was the switch early in the year, and you know, you haven't had that this year. You have a little more continuity. How does that help?
That is it's a good point, and it's really huge, and it's so different. We've actually changed our defense in the middle of the year, what, three years in a row, something like that. And so finally, Coach Caponegri, who's a math teacher in the building, just went to him and said, we are going to create an East Ridge defense, and I don't care who the defensive coordinator is, this is the defense that we're running.
Yeah.
And so he and I went all winter together studying and created this thing, and I'm really happy with it right now. It's still a long way to go. It might take us some time to perfect it.
Right.
But our kids are so much farther along because they've been doing it in mini camp, they've been doing it in 2-a-days, there's no switching, and I told them that ahead of time. We're not switching, then you can get locked into it, and they have.
So then is that something also, like, as a development from younger kids coming up,
ninth grade,
you know, even, like, at the youth level?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to help that,
too. That's the main impetus behind it, is that now every youth coach knows, every ninth, 10th grader knows, this is the East Ridge defense. It's not changing. As long as Coach Fritzy is here, this is the defense that we're running, and you can find a spot, you can find a position, and understand what each spot does and understand the calls, the verbiage, everything, and we're really excited about that.
So, I mean, when you come off a win, you know, you got kind of an excitable team, a little hooting and hollering. How was it? I mean, you know, first win of the year, coming off into another practice week, how was it getting the team back focused in practice for a pretty tough opponent this weekend?
You know what? It's always tougher to coach after you win.
I was wondering. The
kids just, they want to think about the win. They want to watch the highlights. They want to do this and that. And honestly, I don't know. I mean, they seem great. We had a great week of practice. And what we talk a lot about is just respecting 6A opponents. Mm-hmm. You can't, like, we talked a lot on Friday and Monday of these games are won and lost during the week most of the times on these close games, and you cannot pass up a Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is. And our kids respond to that. And so I have no doubt they're ready to go, but, you know, how locked in were they? We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, so you travel to Forest Lake tomorrow. I mean, you know, Forest Lake is a city that, you know, they love their youth sports. They've got a great passion in their fan base, and this team in particular is on a very good trajectory. They're coming off a tough loss though at home to Prior Lake.
Yeah, they really should have won that game.
Yeah, and Forest Lake is a team that beat you at home last year. Yeah. So I'd imagine you'd like to return that favor, huh?
Yeah, you know, they made a coaching change. I don't know how many years it was ago, a few years ago, and they're just a completely different program. Yeah. And they are super well coached. They run a pistol option, triple option, super tough to defend offense. And they're a very rock solid, well coached, bend don't break defense that's tough to run against. And you can see the change in their players' emotions, energy, literally on film. And it's like, wow, these are just different kids. And their program is just skyrocketing in all their grades and even the lower levels, and you can see it. And so, and then going on the road, it's nuts up there.
You know,
we used to go up there, and they used to have the big grass field, the huge crown where you couldn't see people's feet across on the other sideline. Now they got the beautiful turf, and it's going to be like a big party for them. And they – they were tough last year. They're like that really just tough as nails type, grinding out hard, blue collar team, and it's the exact same thing this year when you turn the film on.
Yeah, I mean, defensively they're very stout. I mean, it's hard to ignore, you know, Gopher commit Howie Johnson.
Oh my gosh,
defense. I mean, he's a monster out there. What makes him so special?
He's a game wrecker. So his best ability is to violently slant and then make plays in the backfield. He'll line up head up on a tackle and then slant inside, and then he'll make the play from the backside. So if he's on our left or running right, he'll run the play down by beating the tackle inside.
Yeah.
And then his pass rushing is unreal, and you got to assign probably two guys to him if you really want to stop him.
Well, he's a big guy, and it looks like he can really get himself small, though. Yes, exactly.
He gets really skinny on when he slants and when he pass rushes.
Yeah.
And he's super athletic. And you know, they could probably give him the ball. He could play anywhere. He's not just this big D lineman. He's a big, physical, athletic kid who's quick off the ball, and we have to have a plan for him on every single play.
So do your, I mean, does your team, like, does your offensive line get, I mean, do they understand that? Do they get jacked up facing certain players, if they know, or how does that work?
There was one year, I can't remember what it was, and I just said, guys, we can't block this kid. And they got really upset with me. They got really upset. The O-line coach got upset, and I'm like, guys, I apologize. I didn't realize, okay, all right, let's go. And we went after him, and so I realized that every O-line has that mentality. We can block him, coach. Let's get after him. Yeah. We're not shying away from him. Now, with that said, we got to be pragmatic. And we have to have a plan. We have to double him when we can double him, run away when we can. But our guys are absolutely excited for him. But what we talk about is they have a really good players at every level, D-line, linebacker, and DB, that who are returners. And you have to be – they have to be accounted for in every play,
and it's complicated on offense for them. But they're balanced as well.
Oh, I mean, my gosh!
You know, in the rain and the weather, I mean, they threw 35 times. Or no, threw 23 times and had 35 rushing attempts.
Yeah, they're always balanced. And what they do, if you notice, they actually are in a pistol that's 3.5 yards from the center.
Yeah,
which is abnormal, but it's a specific type of dive option pistol, and they always threaten you with that option. And then they're really good at play actioning, running counters, running sprint outs, running screens, all these little dink and dunk plays that keep you off balance. They're not that old school, we're going to run option right, left, you know, every time. They're not that at all. They're very multiple and dangerous.
Yeah, and I was watching a little film of them, and I even saw a play where they had four receivers split to one side.
Yeah, they have a package where they go empty, four to one side, the old hoop-de-hoop, and they'll, you know, then they threaten you there because they can throw the bubble out there, they can throw it to the single receiver, and then they can run the quarterback up the middle, and you kind of got to pick your poison, and it's tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I like about these last few years is that the high school league has really been, you know, they have been historically changing schedules a lot and just getting, but, you know, it's I'm happy to see the consistency in these kind of eastern suburban matchups.
Yeah, we are too.
And really just the, you know, the rivalries that are starting to kind of butt up, and it's not just Woodbury or Park.
Right.
Or, you can really be a rival with any team in your league.
Absolutely. And this was a years long struggle that the head coaches in 6A had with the state high school league. There's a lot of reasons why, but all we asked was one thing. If we're in the East for our section, we want to play East schools on a yearly basis. And last year was the first year they finally got back to that.
Yeah.
And then you seed against those teams that you play. So those teams in our actual section, which for us it's games 2 through 6, that's your playoff seed, that's your conference champion, those are your rivals, and you do create a rivalry with every single one of those teams in your own way, and it's so fun. Coaches love it, players love it, fans love it, and we hope it never changes.
Well, yeah, and it just, I think, right, fans love it, and it's something that I think can translate across all sports, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, my girls play softball, and you want to beat Forest Lake.
Yeah,
they're a great softball program.
Right.
You know? And that just goes up and up and up through the
absolutely
through how it goes.
And the nice thing that State High School League does is we get non-conference games, but then also when you go into the playoffs, you can't play your section until you make it to state. So you're automatically playing at least two games against teams that you don't play.
Yeah.
And so that spreads it out, and then you get to play different teams, and it really balances out nicely.
Well, Coach, hey, good luck tomorrow against Forest Lake. You know, it'll be a tough game, and just get up there and have a great game.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks again to Custom One Homes for sponsoring this podcast once again. Thank you. Wow.
too much on my